This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين واجعل لي من ورثة جنة النعيم واغفر لأبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So we're gonna wrap up our discussion on Ibrahim عليه السلام's dua from Surah Al-Shu'ara today, and it concludes his words directly, conclude by ayah number 89. There are two ways it should be noted there that these ayat can be looked at. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, last we read, لا تخزني يوم يبعثون, do not humiliate me the day on which they are raised again. From there on, the following words, يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم, you can translate these as the day on which no money and children will be of any benefit, except the one who comes before Allah or brings to Allah a safe heart or a sound heart. Those are the words, right? So there are two ways of looking at these words. One, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying them. Two, that Allah is saying them. In other words, Ibrahim alayhi salam's speech ends with, do not humiliate me on the day that they will be raised. And from there, there's an iltifat, meaning a switch. And now Allah is commenting on that day himself and telling you and me, the day on which no children, no money, money and children will not be of any benefit except someone who comes to Allah with a sound heart. There are two ways of reading it. We're going to first read this, or primarily read this, as words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And sometimes this kind of iltifat is intended in the Quran, that there are dualities. You can look at things in two ways. And Allah Azza wa Jalla does that on a few occasions. In any case, one reason to think that this is still a continuation of the speech of Ibrahim alayhi salam is because يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ, it's the same structure, the day on which they will be raised, the day on which there is no benefiting. In other words, he's still describing the day of resurrection further. So in describing the day of resurrection, one of the earliest descriptions of the day of resurrection is that money and children will be of no benefit. Now let's think about money and children and how Allah talks about them in the Quran. He couples them together in a few places. So one place you'll find money and children bunched together is among the things that human beings desire the most. So he'll bunch those two things together. He'll also, like in Surah Al-Imran, money and children are bunched together in the ayah, زُيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ, right? So children and then piles of wealth are bunched together. Then in Surah Al-Taghabun, for example, Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةِ, that your children and your wealth, your assets, and your children are nothing but a great test for you. Similarly, in Surah Al-Kahf, al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya, that money and children are the beauty of worldly life. So these two things have been bunched together a number of times. Money is something you work hard for. One funny way of looking at it is, money is something you kill yourself to save, and then children is what you spend it all on. That's one way of looking at it. But on a more serious note, one sacrifices themselves, gives up their comforts, gives up a part of their life in order to earn money. Money doesn't come easily, doesn't come, you know, like this, the phrase goes, doesn't grow on trees. You have to go get yourself an education, or you have to learn a skill, you have to go do trade, and you have to do things that aren't comforting to you. Everybody would like to sit back and be lazy, but we can't. We have to go and earn a living. This is the way of the world. This is how Allah created rizq, right? On a note, it's important that one of the names of Allah, Ar-Razzaq, should be understood along with Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. You know, people almost confuse these things with each other. People say, why are you so worried about Allah will punish? Allah is Ar-Rahim.
Allah will show rahmah. Why do you have to do, you know, you keep talking about do this, do that, do the other. Even if I did some messed up stuff, even did haram, Allah is ar-Rahim. It's okay. What do you say to that? Well, you say, well, you know, Allah is also ar-Razaq. So why don't you stop working also? Don't get a job. Don't go to the fridge and open up the fridge and put food in your mouth. Allah is the provider. Allah will provide your stomach. You don't have to make any effort. So if Allah is ar-Razaq, but you have to go and earn, then Allah is ar-Rahim and you have to go and do the right thing also, right? None of the names of Allah are automatic benefits towards you. But regardless, we do sacrifice human beings, you know, like in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, ba'i'un nafsahu, like a person sells themselves. We sell a part of ourselves. The most valuable asset you and I have that is priceless is our time, because life on this earth is limited, right? Our days on this in this earth are limited. And we give up time on this earth and spend it inside cubicles in an office or in Zoom meetings that bore us to death, or, you know, in university, in classrooms that are the professor releases sleeping gas from his mouth and you're sitting there because you know you need to finish this schooling. We do this grueling thing, and at the end of it, what's the reward at the end of it that we're working towards? It's actually mal. I'm getting the degree, which is going to lead to a job. Why am I getting this job? Because at the end of the day, it's about a paycheck, right? And then that paycheck is leading to other mal, meaning home, car, clothes, travel. All of that is mal at the end of the day. All of that is just mal. So human effort, so much of our life actually revolves around mal. And then something else comes along in our life, which is one of the most incredible things Allah has created, the relationship between parents and children, right? And even if you look at it from a non-Muslim point of view, don't even look at it from the Islamic point of view and the rights of parents and all of that. Children come into this world, parents, generically parents, you know, by and large, they'll provide for the child. They will sacrifice their free time for the child. Before the child, they had free time. You know, they could sleep when they want. They could, you know, take a break when they want. They could think about, what am I going to do this weekend when I'm off from work? You know, because at work, they're imprisoned almost. And on weekend, they're free. Right? But then a child comes along and there's the thought, what am I going to do this weekend is gone. Right? That's gone now, because this little creature, they own you. And they decide when you're going to sleep. They decide when you're going to rest. They decide what, you know, your life gets dictated around their priorities until they get to a certain point where they're, you know, they're teenagers, and then they hate you. So that this is the pay they give you back, right? They hate you back for it. So this idea, though, is that we have this attachment to our children. We invest our lives into them. We prioritize ourselves, our finances, how many people move to a neighborhood because it's a good school, for example, right? Or they leave towns because, oh, I want my children to have a better future, right? So these are things that people have put all of their effort in. Whether they're people of Iman or Kufr, doesn't even matter. So much, it's either money or children that takes so much of our time and energy and effort, right? So now these things that we've exhausted our entire lives in, then comes Judgment Day. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, just in one statement, washes these things away and says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Money and children will be of absolutely no benefit. It will be of absolutely no benefit. And it just washes all of it away. Then this is not a nihilistic, like, you know, fatalistic worldview where money doesn't matter, kids don't matter, because there's an ayah that says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That's why I don't care about my kids. That's why I don't care. You know, no, that's not what this means. But what it does mean is we're supposed to exhaust ourselves in this world. That's the way Allah made it. But it cannot take over our hearts. Like, we know these things, they matter in this world, but they have a limit. And beyond that, they can become a fitna. If they take over and they become your only priority, you know, the only reason you're working is so you can make money, so you can make more money, so you can have a house, so you can have a car, so you can have this, so you can, that's so your one materialistic goal to the next materialistic goal to the next materialistic goal. And then your mind is, the other thing that's spinning in your mind is, I need to make sure my kid, you know, we move to this neighborhood, so they go to this good school, then they go to this high school, and they go to this college, and they get this kind of a job, and then we got to worry about getting them married, then we got to do this, then we got to do that. And you're always thinking about the plans for your kids. There's no room left for you to plan for what's coming really ahead. right? And all of those plans are legitimate in their place, but sometimes those plans replace our actual salvation, our actual, priorities in life. All of those things are taken care of. Allah Azza wa Jal actually made it so that we are responsible for our families. That Rasulullah would even say, spending on your family is a form of sadaqah, right? That's on the one hand. But when they become your entire goal, then they are innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Inna min azwajikum wa auladikum aduwwan lakum. Allah says there can be enemies for you too, if you lose sight, you know? So Ibrahim alayhi salam recognizes this and says, on that day, doesn't matter who my kids were, doesn't matter how much money I had. Now let's look at the scene on Judgment Day. The Quran furthers from this. So these are the brief words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What does the Quran say about Judgment Day? It says, you know, there could be somebody who has mil'ul ardi dhahaban. You know, they can have the fill of the earth in gold, and if they wanted to give it away as fidya, as ransom to escape, walaw iftada bihi. You know, if they had the worth of the entire planet earth in gold, they would try to give it away in ransom, it wouldn't work. That's of no value. He says, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ on Judgment Day, right? Ishar are camels that are pregnant, 10 months pregnant. And for the Arabs, female camels are extremely beneficial. They're strong, they're larger relatively. They produce milk, which makes them money. And they double your investment because when they give birth, now you got two camels. So it's basically like if you have a taxi that gives birth to another taxi. You don't get that, right? So once you own a truck, you own a truck. But it's a kind of delivery machine you own that only builds more and more and more. You understand? So it's actually a prime investment. And Judgment Day comes, and Al-Ishar, these prime investments are just left to go run around. Like they were the ones cared for. They were really careful with the pregnant camel because it can't get hurt. It needs to be well fed because the baby needs to be strong, because that's money in the end also, right? وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِلَةً. It's just left to run around. Nobody cares for it. And then as far as children, they are the most delicate when they're babies. We're so careful with babies all the time. In fact, mothers, even before the baby is out of her belly, watches herself when she walks. If there's a corner of a table, she's extra careful, you know, or she won't walk front into the door. She'll turn to the side and then walk into the door because she doesn't want any impact on the baby, right? And then Quran describes يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ, right? The day on which every breastfeeding mother is going to drop whatever she was feeding. It's just going to drop, like it doesn't even, what is this? It doesn't even matter. It's a nothing to her on that day, you know? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ مِنْ وَأُمِّهِ وَمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. You know, the day on which a person will run away from his brother, his mother, his father, his spouse. Some of you are like, spouse, I understand. You know, وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ, and the village that gave him, you know, his extended family that protected him, the nation that protected him, all of them, they're running away from him. And he's you know, they're going to wish that وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِهِ. Like at one place, Ya Allah, take everyone on the earth, the entire population of the planet, throw them in hell, just let me be saved. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. This is the reality of Judgment Day. Now why is that so important to understand? Why is it so important to remind us? None of these things I probably said you didn't already know. Why is it that they have to have, knowing this stuff is something else, it having an impact is something else. You know what this does? This means that my commitment to Allah, my preparation for Judgment Day, people cannot have any impact on my preparation for Judgment Day. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter who likes it. It doesn't matter who doesn't like it. None of that matters. People and money are irrelevant in my journey towards Allah. So yes, people will come in my life and they can be very influential. Financial situations can be very powerful. But they cannot get in the way of my journey. He's going to lose everything, family and no mention of money. Now, there's no possibility of money for Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's become homeless. And he understands, I can lose everything, but I am heading towards Allah And the one thing I need to make sure is when I'm raised with Allah, that I will not be humiliated. Let me give you a practical scenario of someone who understands this. You see, we are living in crazy times where some of the worst examples of, you know, akhlaq, like this deen, Rasul was sent لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, right? So I can perfect the most noble manners, the way he dealt with people, the way he forgave people, the way he met with them, the way he did business with people, right? The way he responded to people, the way he responded to anger, the way he responded, the way he dealt with children, the way he dealt with enemies, the way there was this mannerism to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's what he was sent. Now, even the Quran says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, right? That you have this incredible character. Now, the reality is that, you know, a lot of times some of the worst behavior is exhibited by Muslims, right? Some of the most backbiting, slander, cruelty, sarcasm, condescending tones, talking down to somebody, looking down at somebody, right? Somebody's not as, you know, they don't appear to meet your religious standards, so you look down on them. Or we have this judgmental kind of, the thing that Islam came to get rid of, judgmental thinking, right? Putting all human beings on the same platform, because we're all going to stand before Allah equally on Judgment Day, and we're all children of Adam alayhi salam. It's a remarkable concept. Nobody's better than anybody else, except for what is inside the heart. That's a fundamental teaching of our deen. And yet you find sometimes Muslims are very judgmental of each other, right? And then somebody says, you know what? I don't even practice Islam anymore. I don't even want anything to do with Islam anymore. I met somebody recently who told me, like, you know, I basically left Islam because the Muslims were so mean to me, or the people in the masjid were so mean to me. I stopped praying, I stopped, you know, all of it, because I was so hurt by them. And I understand you're hurt, but I need you to understand something even more important. None of the people that hurt you, or none of the people that judged you, or none of the people that made comments about you or made you feel bad, none of them matter. Like, none of them matter. Your prayer to Allah is not a result of a support system around you or a lack of support system around you. That is just you and Allah alone. That's it. And when you and I believe in Judgment Day, we realize I should be preparing for that day as if I'm already alone. When it comes to my relationship with Allah, I'm already alone. There's nobody else. No, I love my family. I love my friends. I love my spouse, my parents, my children. But if there's something getting in the way of pleasing Allah, or there's something that I know, if I don't do it, that I'm going to end up disobeying Allah, then I don't care. Because I gotta be right with Allah. I'm not going to kid around. I'm not going to play around with that. I'm not going to mess with the rida of Allah. And, you know, the rida of people, meaning the people being content with you, is impossible anyway. I will always have a problem with someone. Someone will always have a problem with me. The people you love the most have plenty of criticism of you. Right? رِضَ النَّاسِ غَايَةٌ لَا تُدْرَكُ. Pleasing people is a canyon. It has no bottom. You can never eventually please people. You know, are you happy in every way? Yeah, well, you know, there's always something. But with Allah, it's remarkable. Allah is the easiest one to please. People are really hard to please, and Allah is really easy to please. And you know what people do, unfortunately? They spend their entire life pleasing who? People. And they think to themselves, oh, Allah must be really hard to please. The opposite of what Allah has given. Allah did not want, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. Well, what's Allah going to get out of punishing you? إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ. If you just become grateful, that's it. He says, عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. You know, I talked about this many years ago. When he says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, the common phrase in the Qur'an, الصَّالِحَاتِ, the is جَمْعَ تَأْنِيثِ, right? It's at, alif and ta. This is used for غَيْرِ الْعُقَلَىٰ, for non-living objects or ideas. And it's actually considered جَمْعُ قِلَّةِ, صِفَةٌ لِجَمْعِ قِلَّةِ. So, أَعْمَالٌ صَالِحَةِ, أَعْمَالٌ صَالِحَةِ. But if you say أَعْمَالٌ صَالِحَاتٌ, you use the ta, the alif in the ta, that actually means the few good deeds. So actually Allah is not even giving you a list of 800 things I expect you to do. If you can't do these, you're not going to Jannah. No, there's a handful of things. Just stay away from this bad stuff. Do this good stuff, you're good. Just that. That's all I ask. Everything else, خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He put everything in this world for you. Compare this to people. Hey, I didn't like the way you were sitting. I didn't like the way you said that. I didn't like what you're wearing. I don't like this. I don't like that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Oh my God. Allah is not this controlling. Actually, He's the master has given more freedom than human beings. You know that? Well, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when Ibrahim alayhi salam says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Think about that. How much of your life do you allow to be controlled by human beings and by monetary dictates? And you do this all for what? Something you're supposed to get in the end. And in the end, those same things don't come and benefit you. They don't come and benefit you. But pleasing Allah, you never feel abandoned at the end. You don't please Allah and say, I did so much for my deen, I did so much in my loyalty to my Rabb, and I never got any returns for it. You can get that with human beings though. You can do a lot for people, you're not going to get anything back. You do something for Allah, you always get it back. You know, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Whatever you spend out of any good, it will be given back to you. You will not be wronged. You know, وَمَا أَنَا بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. I'm not someone who does wrong over and over. I'm not someone who does wrong to the slaves. You know, Allah does not wrong the slaves. Human beings wrong the slaves. The reason Ibrahim alayhi salam's words are so important is because the things that we invest ourselves into, we become attached with them. We think they're going to give us back. No. The only true loyalty we need to have, the true loyalty we need to have is to Allah. Absolute loyalty is to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's because of Him we have loyalty to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The phrase we say to believers, like, أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ, when we say that, it's actually my loyalty to Allah that makes me love you. Like it's my connection to Allah that makes me feel a sense of love for everyone else who wants to have a connection to Allah. And that's how powerful the love of Allah is. The love of my Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is because of my love of Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. And then the followers of my Messenger, I just have a natural love towards them. Why? Because of my love of Allah. Because all of it connects to that final end. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So yeah, he recognizes that he doesn't even have kids yet. He's a young man himself when he said this. He doesn't even have kids. But he's seen what people do for their, you know, with their kids. He's seen what people do. One last comment about this that I'll tell you is that in cultures historically and in some cultures even today, money and children go together because there are some cultures in which money and children are both considered investments. Okay? So your money is your investment. And your children are also your investment. So your children are, you know, basically in some cultures, they are really happy. Like in European cultures, when your kid's 18, they kick you out of the house. Go get your own place. Go get a job, dude. You know, live your own life. I want to live my life now, right? But in many other cultures, you want to keep your 40-year-old, your 30-year-old as a baby still, and even control everything in their life. Why? Because, and there are parents literally who take the paycheck from their 35-year-old son and deposit it into their account and then say, here's $5, go get yourself something nice. Right? You know, they consider their children an investment. And they control it like they control their money. Right? And they're... This stuff, this control will disappear. We control our money. We can put it wherever we want. And we feel like we can control our children however we want. And we can use that money to protect ourselves. If you're in court, malin banun, if you're in court, you should be able to pay a fine, pay for the penalty and get away. Or pay the ransom and get away. Or pay the fidya and get away. Or back in the day, if somebody comes to attack you and you have strong family, your kids, your sons will protect you. Your family will protect you. So money and children are also a source of protection. And so he says on Judgment Day, money and children can't protect anybody. لا ينفعوا أحدا للتعميم لم يذكر المفعول به. There's no, you know, he didn't say يوم لا ينفعني أو لا يوم لا ينفعكم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون. ينفع من؟ ينفع الجميع. ينفع أحدا. It won't benefit me. It won't benefit you. It won't benefit anybody. And then he says, finally, the only ones who can benefit, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The one who can come before Allah with a sound heart. And so 1 minute comment about the sound heart and I'm done. And that is this, The word salim, salama in Arabic, means safety. It means calmness. It has a few dimensions. Something at peace, something safe, something calm, and also something healthy. Something healthy. Now the thing is, whatever we've learned about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam so far, there are people that are hurting him. And when people emotionally or physically hurt you, it hurts your heart. It causes pain inside you. How is a believer who's going through pain all the time, like Maryam salamun alayha, until the day she dies, she's not going to forget the day she faced the humiliation of Banu Israel. Before she faced that humiliation, what happened? She said, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. I wish I was dead right before this could happen. If only I could die before this happened. This is not the kind of thing a person forgets, right? They're scarred for life with it. So how are you coming before Allah with qalb salim? A heart that can turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, no matter who else caused me pain, I didn't act out against you. I was still good with you. I didn't give up on my prayer. I didn't give up on my submission. I didn't let everybody else's trials allow me to put my connection to you, my surrender to you, my ibadah to you, my loyalty to you, my obedience to you. I didn't let that be put in fitna. That's how I protected my heart. There's a dimension of our heart. And by the way, when we have that, then everybody else who causes us pain becomes easier to deal with. Can you think, Yaqub alayhi salam, how much pain is in his heart? He's crying so much, he goes blind. That's not a qalb, it doesn't sound like a qalb salim from one jihad. From one point of view, it's not a qalb salim. Why not? Because his heart is crying all the time. But on the other hand, when he comes before Allah, he held on to sabr. He listened, he trusted his Rabb. He didn't let the sourness and the ugliness from people and the treachery and the treason from people make his connection to Allah sour. He didn't have ugly feelings towards Allah. He didn't have bad assumptions about Allah. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. He didn't do that with Allah. Right? And so when you can do that, then you come to Allah with a sound heart. He says, on that day, money won't matter, children won't matter, assets won't matter, protection won't be there. The only thing that will matter is, what kind of heart did you bring to Allah? Now we know the value of the heart. Our deeds will not get us into Jannah. It is our heart that will get us into Jannah. And it's when the heart's in the right place, that's when those deeds have value. Because when the heart is not in the right place and you're just doing deeds anyway, then it could be shallow deeds. It could be deeds for the wrong reasons, for the wrong intentions. What happens to those deeds? وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah says He will approach those deeds that were done for the wrong reasons. Even though were good deeds, He'll turn them into scattered dust. They're worthless. They will become worthless. So, Barakum Salaam Allah. So, illa man at Allah bi qalbin salim, except for someone who comes before Allah with a sound heart. May Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve our hearts and our iman in Allah and our loyalty to Him and our tawakkul in Him and our good thoughts of Him, and never let our praise of Him and our declaration of His perfection be reduced in any way because of the fitna that people might put us through. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil